Hello and welcome back to Foolishly Faithful. This is episode 36. The date is Wednesday, April 3rd. And as you probably know, the Mets are playing like crap. The Mets are 0-4 to start the year. Somehow we're not in last place in the NL East. But we've also been rained out three times. So we've got a lot to cover. And I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you also know what kind of what's going on. So let's jump right into it. We have some first reactions and overreactions for the top of the season. Right away, I'm going to pass it to Steve.
Yeah, so I guess overreaction, obviously four game sample size. I mean, the Mets were playing like dog shit, like you said to start it. I mean, it just terrible across the board. Overreaction is this team has no drive to win. I mean, it's been four games. It's felt lackluster. It's almost been felt like a continuation of September 2022 all through 2023 season and right into the first four games of April. But that's my really overreaction. Obviously, I'm still a little optimistic of this team. 0-4 is not a huge deal. If it was a four game winning losing streak in June, we probably wouldn't be going crazy like this, but it feels really bad to start the year 0-4. Yeah, this team has no heart. That's going to be my overreaction from the get-go. Ray, what do you got?
You hit it right on the head. I can't disagree with anything that you just said. A little bit of, hope that I have. Eric mentioned that we got rained out three times. Maybe missing Thursday opener. The boys were excited to get out there and, they had to hold that excitement for a day. And then, like I said, I didn't want to really count them out until what I saw from them in against Detroit. And then I was at that game and I was getting hopeful again until like that, extra innings came around. And yeah, like they just do not seem like that they have the heart or the hustle. That they're complacent almost. Like they're okay with whatever happens. And they should be, fighting a little bit harder. And because of that, like I'm pissed off that some of the our top of the lineup's not hitting. And our pitching, aside from Manaea and Diaz, and I forget what other closer, they're the only ones that look good. Severino looked bad. Quintana had a couple okay pitches, but if we don't have a starting rotation and the top of our lineup's not hitting, I really don't know where this team's gonna fucking go.
It's not looking great right now. I know I'm supposed to be the positive guy here, the optimistic guy, and I mean maybe a little more so than you guys. Like it's hard, right? It's four games in. What are we gonna do? We're gonna just burn the whole team, like sell them off. I mean, it's kind of weird. Like we're not hitting. I think someone mentioned it offline, but it's like the good teams are hit the ground running, and they're always gonna find a way to win. You know, they're gonna get the balls in play and they're gonna somehow eke out a win. I mean, games have been close, but it's like, it's four games, like this is our team, like they'll come around to it. It's been really cold and like crappy weather. Like maybe that's part of it, but apparently our average like is the second lowest right now. So again, four game sample size, but we're hitting 188. That's up there with the White Sox at 181. Blue Jays somehow are 193. So we're bottom of the barrel. 188 is not a good batting average by any means. It looks like OPS is second lowest. Like we're hitting like 5, what is it, 551? Like terrible. I'm looking at like the what is this? The BABIP. It says we're 214. Seems like on average, you're supposed to be like 300. So maybe we're just getting unlucky there and we'll positively regress to the mean. I don't know. Like, I think it's four games. I think there's life with Alvarez and hopefully we can kind of corral around him. Pitching is okay. It's hard. Pitcher's pitched once every couple. We haven't even seen our entire rotation. Like, how are we gonna just like, oh, this guy looked good, this guy didn't look good. Like, he had one good start. Like, it's kind of hard to like say get any sort of a sample size from that. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Just going back to like some of my thoughts. I didn't see a lot of opening day because, you know, I was so excited for opening day that I was like running around the stadium, not really paying too much attention to the game. But I watched the second game and it seemed like lackluster until like I turned it off. And then apparently that's when like they had the big rally towards the end. And I was like, oh, maybe this is the team we were looking for. That ended sour. Sunday didn't really do anything. And you mentioned starting pitching. Like we already have to look for another starting pitcher because we don't even know what's going on with Miguel.
Yeah.
It's not promising.
No, it's definitely not promising. Nothing of that is promising. I think it's definitely early to tell. I think we'll be kind of come around. I know I said World Series winner. Maybe I was a little too optimistic. Like, I think we could still pull things together. Again, this is our whole team. Like, what the hell are we? Yeah, things aren't going well, but like,
I'll
what,
never not root for them, but
McNeil, Lindor, what's his name, Nimmo are all like, playing
cold.
terrible. Yeah, cold. So are they all
Frozen.
slumping? Like, are they just continuing from last year?
Well,
All right. All
McNeil
right.
deserves
All
to be in the
right.
four hole.
All right. I thank you, David, for your positivity, but I gotta bring us back down to the gutter now. I'm where I stand on this is I'm like honestly, like I feel like a fool. I understand it's the name of our podcast, but I feel like I have been completely punked. I've been punked. And I think like it's like whether or not this actually is a transition year or not, or you know, the front office has kind of been waffling on whether it is or we're competitive or not. But you know, you kind of expect some changes. Opening day is when you get changes to a ball club and when you kind of have promise. And we have a new front office, we have a new manager, and somehow we look like the exact same team. We're playing exactly how we were all of last year. I watched opening day, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was the same formula. None of our hitters are hitting unless one guy wants to have like who wants to like go on a streak for us. It goes back, right, what Steve said to September 2022 when it was the month of Escobar. It was only the month of Escobar in September 2022 because he was the only person who could hit on that. It's like the whole team, it was just dead in the water and no one had any energy left or any more fight. And it was only Eduardo Escobar who could win games. That's what it feels like right now. And yeah, I think it's like we have no fire, we have no fight. I don't see the competitive edge. I understand it's four games, but it's just like it's not even about the talent that's missing. It's just they don't look like they have the will to win. They don't have the competitive drive, it looks like. And
There's no hustle. No hustle.
it's like when you get met with things like the Rhys Hoskins slide, which we'll get into, of course. And they do nothing about it, and then you know you throw away behind them and you miss them.
Oh, that was
It
so
falls
stupid. So embarrassing.
flat and looks so embarrassing. And it's like, God, I
Severino
wish
should have thrown that pitch.
we need someone. We need someone who honestly is like Rhys Hoskins, or someone who is gonna like stare their team down, or is gonna rub it in their team's face, because we have absolutely none of that. We just kind of bend over, and it really sucks. So I'm really disappointed to start the season. Obviously, we're going to win some games, and I'm going to continue to watch this team every day, but God, it sucks to watch.
And like kind of completely off what you said, like how it just kind of feels like a continuation of last year and like some September 2022, which is like I was saying earlier as well, that like this team in 22, we won 101 games because of like our heart and our scrap, and like we scraped together runs. We just did what it did, needed to do to push the other team. And we're not seeing that, right? Like we've only scored 8 runs. It's only been 4 games, but 75% of our runs have come off of a home run. That's unsustainable. And that's never how, like, I don't know, that's not how the Mets were when I was growing up. It was kind of like a Yankee thing, right? Like, you got all these big boppers and you just like hit play for the 3-run home run. But that was never, wasn't really the Mets DNA. Mets DNA was always like good pitching, scrapping out runs, almost like the 2024, the 2014, 2015 Royals, when they went on their playoff run.
Good base
Yeah.
running, good defense.
It's just weird to see. I mean, you know, the Mets haven't had good defense in a while, I guess, but it's just weird to see like this home run or nothing club. And like the starting pitching has been okay, but they've only pitched half of the games. Like
Yeah.
they've pitched 19 innings out of what, and we've had 4 games, so it's
36.
37 with the extra inning, right? So our
just about 50% of the innings have been pitched by our starting pitching and the rest by our bullpen. That's like unsustainable. No matter how good your bullpen is, no matter how good your starting pitching has to hold up. But you can't be pitching 4 to 5 innings a game from your bullpen.
And look, I like what you said, Eric, too, where it's like we don't have that, you know, that energetic vibe. Like, I remember Pete Alonso practically raping the dugout wall. The dugout wall. And now there just doesn't seem to be, like, any life in it. You know, Nimmo's always been, like, the quiet guy that hustles. Like, he's not going to get out there and, like, yell for us. Francisco Lindor is probably worried more about the color of his glove or cleats. But
I don't disagree, but continue.
But, you know, we need that loudmouth goon almost to, you know, get everybody's ass up into out of, like, the seats. And that's lacking right now, and it's certainly lacking towards down the stretch last year.
I think, like, I was reading something in the past few days because I've been reading a lot and just, you know, putting more garbage into my brain about the Mets. But someone was saying how somewhere I was reading it said all these players think that their individual home runs are going to be what brings this team out of its funk. And that's just not how, like, it works. It's like you need to contribute as a team. You need to, like, move each other around on base. You need to, like, score and be on and, like, move the line down. Like, that's one person having a home run is not gonna do it. And also to your point, Steve, about, like, the DNA of this team, it's like, yeah, we have players who can hit home runs. Brandon Nimmo is a strong guy, and he can hit. He hit 24 last year. He could hit 30 if he really wanted to. But if we are gonna make our hitting approach be hit home runs, then make the personnel fit for that. Don't try to turn Jeff McNeil and Brandon Nimmo into home run hitters. That's not who they are. Go get actual home run hitters. And maybe that's a move with JD, but
that's what Steve said when we were talking about the opening lineup a couple episodes ago. He said, you know, are we going to have the chemistry of take a walk, take a walk, take a walk, hit a home run, boom, that's 4 runs, versus hit a home run and 3 walks, that's only 1 run. You know, if we're going to make the, like, adopt this philosophy, like, we have to set up the home run hitter for success.
Honestly, it doesn't even feel like we're getting, like, all these big home runs and getting all the runs off of it. It feels like nothing is really coming around. And what did what's his name, Beatty, got like a 3-run home run like in the 8th inning the other day. I mean, it's like that's probably half of our runs right there, just from a 3-run homer. Just because, like, one guy walked, like, another guy maybe got a single. Like, it doesn't feel like we're getting all these big home runs, and it just feels like nothing else is coming around. So, like, yeah, if some guy, like, a couple of people got a few home runs here and there in 4 games, like, that's definitely not sustainable either.
And didn't Beatty come off the bench for that one? They sat him as a starter, and he came in as a pinch hitter in a lefty-on-lefty matchup that they thought that he couldn't do, but apparently he's the only one that could do something that game.
Yeah. I think it might have been a pinch hit home run that game.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
I think Tyron Tyler started.
Yeah, yes. Like you said, David, that's like almost half our runs right there. We've only scored 8 runs, and that was a 3-run home run. Like, I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Is that what they were trying for? Is that just kind of lucky? I mean, again, it's like, oh yeah, that was clutch in the 8th inning. We're finally coming back. Like, was it clutch, or have we just kind of sucked the game and, like, finally got something around in the 8th inning? Like, it doesn't, you know, they just had no life that game. You know, they're just, what were we down? What did we lose, like 6-5 that game?
But we were down 7-6.
Yeah, but we were down, like,
it was a big comeback.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a 7-6 game, though.
No, we were down by a lot for most of the game, and that got us within 2 runs, I think, and then Alonso tacked on another in the 9th, and we just...
Classic Mets loss.
Yep. Like, classic. Yeah, 100%.
That was the Severino game, right, where they gave up 12 hits in the first inning?
Yeah. What textbook Mets loss. Oh, my gosh.
Beat it to the ground early.
I love that, like, loss, because, like, it started in 1962, right? I think, you know, we obviously set the record for most losses in a season, and we also set the record for most losses by 1 or 2 runs. And it wasn't because, like, they were close all game. It was because they would do that. They would, like, get stomped on for 8 innings, and then they would come back to just within enough breath in the 8th and 9th and just fall flat. Like, that's just
amazing.
Since 1962, this has been our DNA.
Trademark it.
And I feel
It's
like
less pressure, you know. You're down by a few runs, and like the end of the game, it's like, oh, what the hell? We lost this game anyway, and that's what happens.
and that speaks to like how like my sentiments are for the team, because like in a position like that, I'm just like, yeah, we're still losing this game.
I know. We're all part of it. We're all that's what it is to be a Mets fan, is just to suffer with this. It doesn't make it feel any better, but just to acknowledge that this is how it goes. And maybe we've all infiltrated our psyches a little too much with loserdom. All right. Well, we could rant on this for, I think, hours, but we do have some other Mets things that relate to this first week that we want to get to. The first with, well, I guess we can rant about this as well. We should talk about the slide at second base on opening day, where Jeff McNeil is getting a ground ball from Lindor or from Beatty at third, makes the catch, loses it on the transfer, and then Rhys Hoskins has the slide up, he's trying to break up a potential double play and ends up kind of sliding into Jeff's knee and cleating his foot a little bit. But Jeff makes a big stink about it, is yelling at him. Bench is clear. There's some shouting. And then of course the next day, Johan Ramirez throws behind Hoskins in this like the seventh inning after Hoskins already has four RBI. And he gets suspended 3 games. Carlos Mendoza, the manager, gets suspended a game. Why he got suspended a game, I'm not sure. He didn't argue or anything. Maybe it's like he
They
abets the
must have assumed it was
crime.
planned. They must have assumed it was planned.
Sure. But so that's the whole rundown of what happened. I would love to hear what you guys think about this more in depth. We haven't really talked about it. Who wants to go first, Steve?
I saw it live. I think, you know, David, Ray, and I were all there. I happened to be like watching, like we were like Ray said, I was walking around the stadium to a lot of the game, but I happened to be watching when that happened. And like I thought at first it was like a little bit of a push, you know, a little bit much, but it wasn't like anything crazy. And then they showed it on our Jumbotron, and I thought it was a little bit like he definitely cleated him in the ankle a bit. It was a little bit of a late slide, but I didn't think it was crazy at the time. The more I see it on replay, the less I think it's crazy. I think that Hoskins did a hard slide trying to break up the double play, and I think Jeff honestly overreacted a little bit. Ray, I know you have strong feelings about Jeff McNeil. What do you got on him?
So I agree with you. When I first saw it, I was heated. I was just like getting flashbacks of Chase Utley and Ruben Tejada. And I'm like, am I that traumatized that as soon as I see a slide that gets a little too close to the fielder, that it's automatically a dirty play? And then watching it over and over again, like I started to feel a little less of a way, especially like how much Rhys Hoskins kind of downplayed it. He was kind of like staring at McNeil, like, what the hell are you yelling at me for? Like, and McNeil took it to heart. I think that might be like a little bit of like self-reflection on McNeil's part, that he knows that he's not, you know, stepping up to what he should be doing. Do I think that McNeil should have voiced his opinion like that? Absolutely. You know, like if you can't fire yourself up behind the plate, you gotta fire yourself up somewhere else, you know, because that dude can't hit for shit right now. And we'll probably mention this. We were all talking about this John Boy video. We know that he does like a lot of hot takes and analyzes different things. But it's kind of shocking to see like the comparison of like way like Hoskins will like take a infield ball versus like McNeil. You
Yeah, so
know.
for more context, this video that Ray's talking about, for I don't know if all of you guys have seen it or any of our listeners have seen it. Basically, it's this video on YouTube. You should look it up, by John Boy Media about the Mets not really sliding into second base. And it's after this Hoskins McNeil drama has happened. This guy, John Boy, has done a full deep dive into a bunch of double plays that the Mets have grounded into in the past few years. And it is appears to be a team-wide, organizational-wide issue of the Mets not sliding into second base on double plays. They either slide way early, they run out of the baseline, they completely avoid the throw. And That's just something the Mets do. And no other team really appears to do that at that rate. All other teams are running right up to the bag, sliding as late as they can safely in a legal way, and trying to force an errant throw from second base. But the Mets, maybe they have the trauma from Chase Utley. Who knows what it is? But it seems like the Mets perhaps think that you can't slide like that. And so maybe that has the impact on McNeil.
And like I agree that like nobody wants to go into a play with intentions of hurting somebody. And I think that's rarely the case. But there's something to be said about playing hard-nosed ball, where people have always considered Jeff McNeil like, you know, hard-nosed player. He's out there, he's hustling. We talk about how Nimmo runs down to first base after a walk. But if you guys are not gonna run to second base, like the thing that they compared like Hoskins to, like as soon as he gets close, like even if he knows he's out, his arms are up, he's putting his body into it. You know, these are all legal things in the MLB. You know, if you're just trying to like allow a free pass to the other team, then you're not a competitor. You're not trying to win games. Like you need to do everything that you can. It's the things that, like, it's the stuff off the stat sheet that really matter. And I think this is one of them.
And to give a little more context with what Eric was saying, and what Ray kind of like expanded on, was this video really dives into like what happens off the bat, like tries to look at similarly exit velocity plays, looks at similar situations in the game where it's a close game and they should be hustling. And there's the Mets, I think the Mariners, and I think you need one other team, just seem to not really try hard at second base and just like let them like make the play. One thing that I think he like said in his video, and this can't be true, is that he's assuming the Mets misunderstand the rule as an organization, which can't be true, right? I mean, especially with Buck last year, who's just renowned for knowing the rules so well, that this change, I think, was made 2 or 3 years ago, that you're not allowed to slide into second base in a way that you miss the base completely or you overslide the base. Basically, it's meant to like make you stay on the bag and give like a good slide on the bag. The Mets, according to the John Boy video, seem to think that the rule is you can't impede the throw to first base, which obviously is not the rule. I can't believe that they misunderstand the rule. This just doesn't make any sense to me. I will say though that maybe you could post the link to the video in our, when we post the, I don't know if we can do that, figure that out, but rep another podcast on our links.
If they give us a shout out, we'll give them a shout out, you know.
Yeah,
I like,
he has how many millions of listeners. But it's a really damning video and it's embarrassing. I think we might see, I don't know if there's any gonna be anything real about this, but if this gets into like the wider media, we might see some harder slides from the Mets going forward.
I like that you mentioned Buck though, because I feel like yes, he definitely did know all the rules and he wanted to play the game like kind of pure, like to like an old school sense. But I feel like this wouldn't happen when we had Terry Collins. Terry Collins would be encouraging those slides. You know, I don't know how far back, you know, John Boy's, you know, deep dive goes, but if this were to happen under like the Terry Collins years, he'd be out there screaming, getting himself thrown out of the game. He's like, that was a clean slide. That's a clean slide. I see Buck being a little bit more complacent. Okay, you're throwing at my guys. You know, that's a clear thing. But this, like, it had to start from somewhere because it's too consistent for the Mets over the past few years. And I'm still trying to, like, figure out why.
Yeah, it's been a whole weird situation. And I think you said it was a damning. I mean, the video was damning. I think the Hoskins slide on opening day was damning towards Jeff, because I feel like there's been a lot of antics with Jeff McNeil over the past 2 years, 3 years, and you know, they all go all over the map. And you know, you watch him have these tantrums on the field, and it's fine when he's, you know, he's the batting champion, and he's, you know, grinding these at bats and he's knocking runs in. But just watching him have these tantrums when he's just playing like crap and he's popping stuff up and he's doing all of this stuff, it's like these antics. I'm tired of it.
You know who's reminding me of?
And I don't know. Hold, look,
Rex Ryan.
I don't know if it's you say Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan.
No, I was going to say Anthony Rendon.
Anthony
Anthony
Rendon.
Rendon had a fantastic couple years, and then all of a sudden just turned into like, I think did he win a batting title one year too?
He was close in MVP votes one year. I mean, he won the when he won his when they won the World Series in 19, I think he got his contract the year after.
And since then, it's been nothing. And I
Yeah.
feel this it's like the carbon copy of McNeil.
No.
He got his batting title, got nicknamed the Flying Squirrel.
I don't even know if it was necessarily the batting title and the contract. I mean, it's like, the whole stuff with like Lindor the first year where they had a apparently had to fight in the tunnel. Like
It's a New York rat.
now I'm like going conspiracy theory, which is maybe not healthy, spiraling a little bit, but it's like, is McNeil a good teammate? Does Lindor does not like him? Like, because I'm trying to explain to myself what is going on with this team, because clearly something is not clicking, and Jeff McNeil is clearly in this haze, as are the rest of our core players.
We've been grasping at straws for like 2 years trying to figure it out. It just has to make sense.
Can I just add an aside? Not to compare Anthony Rendon to McNeil, but I don't know if you guys saw his quote from this past February. Someone was asking him about like baseball, and he's like, "Baseball has never been a top priority for me. It's just a job," which is just insane because you look at the
Talking about
side by
Rendon,
side.
right?
Yeah, Anthony Rendon. So, and then coincidentally, he is now 0-for-19. He has one walk. So, 19 plate appearances or 19 at bats, 0-for-19. Never been a top priority. Let him take his paycheck. I think McNeil has heart. That's all. What's up,
I
Steve?
have to defend Anthony Rendon a little bit there. I think that quote is a little out of context. I remember what he said. He was just basically saying like his family, his like religion, his health, like is more important to him than baseball. And like baseball is not the number one thing in his life. And I think that like we all grow up idolizing baseball and we dream of being professional baseball players. But is your job everything to you in your life? Are you giving everything you have to your job more than like your family, more than like your religion or any, that kind of thing? That's, I think, what he was saying. You don't like to hear that when he struggled as much as he has with the Angels. But a little defense of Anthony
Well,
Rendon.
my job and family's not everything, but they're not giving me $100 million.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, I know. A
The
little defense of
context.
Anthony Rendon.
I agree with you completely, but at the same time,
Take his
apples
paycheck
and
and run.
oranges.
I don't know.
Does the slide affect how you guys feel about McNeil? Like, has it swayed you any way further?
I was already not, set on him being in his position in the batting order. The slide has really no effect on that. If anything, it's, how he's batting now, and in clutch situations, he's just not doing it. But it's also like the second part of that story where you see how he hustles into second base. So even if you have him on first or second, like we said, like, oh, potentially move him into like the 2 or 3 hole. I don't want to see a guy in the 2 or 3 hole walking to second base,
Yeah.
because he knows that. Well, didn't the Yankees have a problem with somebody years ago? Was it was it Sheffield at the time or somebody where they complained that he always, once he like he knew it was going to be an out to the outfield, he walked down the line.
Robbie
I think
Cano?
Cano,
Yeah, I think it's Cano. I
Cano.
think it was
It was
Cano.
just like, oh, this guy doesn't hustle. Like, he knows it's going to be out, so he walks. It's like, that's not the point. Like, you're an athlete. Hustle. Try to make something out of nothing.
I mimic a lot of what you said, Ray. I think that him making the big hoopla about the slide, I feel like he like it was a little much. I think it was not as dirty as McNeil made it out to be, but it didn't really affect my opinion on him. The like John Boy video really did though. It really like made me think of him a little differently because I think like he's like the guy who made the video said that like it started because he's like McNeil had to have had a slide like this before. The way he plays, he's like a hard-nosed player. He had to have make slides like this. And he like went down this rabbit hole finding out that he doesn't, and he just doesn't do that. And like I think that to me affected my opinion of him.
Exactly. It's like the juxtaposition. It's like not him getting slid on, it's his sliding.
I think he's getting further and further away from his batting title year. And if he wants to be scrappy and he wants to put up a fight, if someone slides into him, great. I love it. You got to back it up on the field. He has one hit this season in 12 at bats. Again, small sample size, but not good. And if he's not hitting 300, 290, what is his value on the team? Like, yes, great defensive player. We saw when he wasn't playing the other day. He's better than the alternative because I forgot who was playing second and they got the error in the top of the 10th the other day. And
Short,
like,
I think that was what Wendell,
Joey
yeah,
Wendell,
either way, like they got an error. And
Wendell. So.
I think McNeil would have made that play. So I don't know. He's better than we have right now, but I don't know if he's not hitting, like that's all he has. He's the slap hitter. He's gonna keep that bats alive. And if he's not doing that, we got a lot of infielders in the minor leagues. Maybe named Acuna, who hopefully can
Luis,
make it up soon.
and I think what Steve said was also like. You put your money where your mouth is. The next game, Hoskins came in and smacked a home run right away. It was like, that's telling where McNeil goes like 0 for 3 in the game and Hoskins puts up a home run and gets thrown at. I don't know who seems more right or wrong in that situation or.
Completely.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that last part.
One thing though, like Mendoza, listen, I don't know if there was an accident, if the ball slipped, if you threw behind Hoskins in the seventh inning or not, but I think first at bat, you throw at Hoskins, you throw behind him. I don't, what are you doing in the seventh inning? Like maybe that's an accident, maybe not, but I think you make a point. I think you stand up for your guys. I think first at bat, you just throw at him, back
We
him off
saved
the
eight
plate.
hits off of Severino.
Yeah, exactly. Even if just waste the pitch, waste the ball. Come on, like put some life in there. Like at least back up McNeil and be like, hey, like show some heart. Like, it was nothing there. At that point, it seemed very retaliatory and very petty and, a sore loserish. Oh, we're down. Hoskins is killing us. We're going to throw him in the seventh inning. Like, come on, guys. Like, what the hell are you doing there?
It is sore losers because if you're
Yeah.
that fired up about it, you throw immediately at him. You
Boom.
don't
Yeah.
let him get a chance. Fuck your starter. You're saving it for a reliever.
Yeah.
Nah.
And
You don't care about it that
I
much.
also like I think the McNeil slide as a whole, I think kind of showed me a little about Mendoza too, that I wasn't really excited about, is that I think I would have liked to see him come out stronger on it, whether it that be in his responses after the game or whether it be the next day throwing someone, and if he has like if he knows that somebody might get tossed in the first inning for toss for throwing a Hoskins, then so be it, he'll have someone ready to go. Yeah, the whole thing didn't feel great.
And
So
that says how everybody feels about you for the rest of the year.
totally. Yeah, it's a hard note to start on on opening day and with real drama. You
It
or you
comes
want
off
to, you
soft.
you want to see. I mean, again, you see Terry back in the Noah, ass in the jackpot, whatever. It's like that's someone who has your back.
Yeah, and this just
Yeah,
seems very soft.
sure does. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back. We have a trivia question, and we'll jump into, I guess, more of the technical aspects of how the Mets are doing. We'll talk about our hitting. We'll talk about our pitching. So we'll see you then. Hello and welcome back. All right, just kick off our second half. We've got a trivia question from Steve. Trivia.
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 Yeah, so we started 0-4, so I thought I would deep dive into when the last time a team won the World Series after starting the season 0-4. So that's a trivia
Oh.
question today. When is the last team? Who were they? What year was it? To start a season with four straight losses and still make it to and win the World Series.
Wow.
That's super vague.
It's a little vague. Listen, it's 1 in 30, right? Or not even. It's like 1 in 27. There's a couple teams who haven't won.
Do we have like a hint towards like a timetable? Like 90s to
Within our lifetime, certainly.
okay.
I can narrow it down more than that
Oh, I thought
if
you wanted the
requested.
year too, so it's that might
I do
be,
want the year too.
yeah,
All
way more than 27 options.
right.
Yeah, so it wasn't the Mets because it's not they've not won in our lifetime.
World Series winners
Thanks for the
in the
reminder,
past
Steve.
30 years.
All right.
30
All right.
something years for some of us.
Well,
Your
I'm gonna think
dream.
about it. I'm gonna think about it. I'm sure.
And so should you.
As
stick
it's
around.
not, it's not as long ago as you might think. It's actually, it turns out it was a little more common than I thought it was.
Okay. All right. Well, we do want to jump into a little more of the technical aspects of the Mets offense and pitching. There are some bright spots, of course. On our offense, we do have some hitters who are showing a lot of promise. Francisco Alvarez has been off to a fantastic start, showing a lot of energy out of the gate. And Starling Marte is back looking healthy and fit.
Like 2022 All-Star Marte. That
That's exactly right.
groin. Ooh.
He's looking good.
He's looking
That
really
groin
good.
is
His
that
arm
groin
looks
is
good too. He
nice.
has had a couple of guns out from the outfield.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think these two guys so far are looking like our all-stars. What do you guys think?
I certainly think that they look great. I'm ready to move Marte into the top three. McNeil and Nimmo can't hit, so put Marte in his all slot and maybe even consider Alvarez for the four hole. I mean, I didn't just say that like 2 weeks ago, but maybe that's an early take.
I think 100% that's what's going to happen. We're going to see that tomorrow. We're going to see Marte batting second and Alvarez batting fourth. I think Mendoza wants to get off the schneid and he's going to go with the hot hand.
And I still think it's a little early too, because like honestly, like we're four games in. We would have been six if it wasn't for the rainouts, but we need to find a spark somewhere, and these guys seem to be doing it. So let the hot hand play.
Yeah, been really impressed with them. As we know, all of the rest of our court is not playing as well. McNeil, Nimmo, and Lindor each have, I think, only one hit in all of their at bats. They've had either 11 to 15 at bats. They'll only have one hit. I think Nimmo has five strikeouts. They might only have a couple walks each, two or three walks. Alonso is fine, I guess. I mean, he has the home
It's
run.
been okay. Yeah. It's
But
four
I think
hits.
I feel like the rest of his at bats, I think, are they look like classic Alonso at bats, where he's over
Big
swinging and
double.
he gets amped up, and it's like he'll pop something up because he's trying to win it when he just needs to be a hitter.
And there's nobody on base, and it's just like you're going for the fences.
I'm almost fine with that. I mean, unless if it's like two outs and there's no one on base, then fine, you can take a swing. But it's like the core has forgotten about like the context of which they're batting and who's behind them, and like knowing that there's some linearity to follow.
He's 4 for 15 and he's one strikeout. I'll add him to the positives with Alvarez and Marte. And
I'm with you.
yeah, and that's it.
That's
Fine.
all right.
Quick question for you guys though. Out of McNeil, Nimmo, and Lindor, they're the ones I feel should be producing the most and are struggling the most. Who are you most disappointed with?
Man.
I think Nimmo, honestly. I mean,
Same.
Nimmo has struck out 5 times. He hasn't walked once. He's got one, like you said, one hit and 16 at bats. That's crazy. He hasn't, I'm sorry, he's
He
walked
has one
once. He's
walk.
walked. He has one walk. But like I think I put this in the notes, but like he's being pitched to much more aggressively than we've seen in the past. They are filling up the strike zone against him. They're not letting him take pitches and like work the count. He's gonna have to swing for a living until he like the pitchers
Interesting.
forget about this.
I
I didn't
just
think about
checked
that
this
point of view.
actually beforehand, and you're right. He has the same amount of like pitches. I thought he was like swinging more. Maybe that was difference, but no, he's about like 4 pitches and change per plate appearance. I know it's very short sample size, but that's lines up with the last couple of years as well. So he's still seeing the same number of pitches. They're just more strikes, I guess.
So he's taking the pitches, but is he like striking out looking? Like I know that's like a hard to, like stat to pull
Yeah,
up.
I'm not sure off the
Because
top of my head, but five out of the 16 at bats have been strikeouts, which is absurd for him.
we've always said that like he's disciplined, like he knows how to take pitches, and it's I'm almost a little worried that maybe the rest of the league has picked up on this and like oh he's looking for balls, don't give it to him.
Yeah, I mean
That's what it feels like.
that's definitely what it feels like. And I think I feel like I've seen him try to bounce back. I remember some at bats in the last game where he would just be swinging first pitch because he knew he was getting a strike, which is a fine strategy, especially, I mean, that's how a long baseball season works, right? Like, you figure out what pitchers are doing to you, then you have a countermeasure, and then they figure out what you're doing, and then they try something else, and then you have to keep bouncing back and forth. So, I mean, maybe Nimmo does need to start swinging more and not look, but the strikeouts are hard, which means, I mean, I guess he's taking and he's getting in a hole, and it'll end up being 0-1, and then first pitch strike, and then he has to foul one off, and it's 0-2, and then it's a strikeout because he's already in the hole, a strike because he didn't swing. So I don't know, maybe he just needs to gear up and just get ready to slap on that first pitch and get on base.
Well, with that thought being said, like we've been saying for a while now that the Brewers have had our number for years, and some of our upper management have come from there, or some of the management we wanted. And we talked about the analytics. Like, do the Brewers just have that much information on us that they know what's going to happen with him, and coach the guys around it? Because
Who knows?
sometimes, like, it doesn't boil down to just the pitcher being a good pitcher, or like the batter
Of
being a bad
course.
batter, but like the whole game
It's
plan.
game
If
plan.
they're giving him, like, telling him, like, do this, do this, do this, like, you have to, adjust your game to, fool the competitors.
I mean, I think the whole league knows Nimmo's game, right? He takes pitches, he works the count, and he takes his walks and slash sprints to first base.
All of his strikeouts have been striking out swinging, just to circle back on
Oh,
that.
okay, good. Good.
Wow.
That's something I'm
Great,
happy to hear
great
about.
investigative reporting, David,
Thank
on
you.
the fly,
No
on the wow.
problem.
Statman.
Beatty has
On.
also been pretty decent so far in limited at bats, right? He's had 12 at bats. He missed one start. He's batting 250 with a home run, so 4 for 12, not bad to start the year. Pete, just to go back to what David says, putting him in the positives. One home run, 15 at bats, 270 batting average. I think we'd all take 40 home runs and 270 from Pete every day of the
Ooh, yep.
year. That's the pace
Sure.
right now. I'll take that.
Yeah. And then I think there are some players that I'm ready to part with as soon as we get the chance, like DJ Stewart. It killed me the other day when Alvi gets, I mean, it was the play at the plate when Nimmo with the outfield assist nailing the Tigers catcher at who's running home from third. Alvarez takes the hit, hangs on for the out, is super amped. He's up the next inning, two outs. Alvarez hits a double, hustle double, slides into second base, hanging on the base by his fingertips, calls time, double, is super amped up. He should be as he should be. And I think the whole team should be excited. And then DJ Stewart's up next, gets the count to 3-0, and then swings on a 3-0 fastball. And pops it out to third base in foul territory. Broke my fucking heart. It's like,
That goes back to what we were saying, where like there's no heart in this team. It's like you have a young kid that is supposed to be the future of your franchise,
get him
and
in. He wants to win.
he and you set him up for failure. I was like, okay, whatever I do is gonna mean nothing because I
He
got
deserves
nobody
so much
behind
better.
me to take a ball and get on base.
He deserves so much better there.
The 3-0 thing is interesting because someone else did that earlier this week. I think it was in the third game against Milwaukee, or second game against Milwaukee. What was the Sunday game? No, the third game against Milwaukee. I don't remember who it was, but it was 3-0. They swung. It just made it into the like stands. Eventually, it was okay, but it was almost a foul, a pop foul. And I think that we've seen this around the league a lot recently. I think the mentality has shifted to like, don't screw up 3-0 to like, if you get a meatball 3-0, take it. It's a meatball. But it's ugly to watch when you grew up kind of with the opposite mentality.
Yeah, that's something I
One
always
big.
heard, where it's like if you have a 3-0 count, it's like swing for the fences. But like you said, like unless like it's coming down clear as day, it's almost like a gimme.
It's tantalizing to not swing at. One thing that's really bothered me about the offense has been there's been zero stolen bases so far. And we haven't had a
Yeah,
ton
that
of people. I
hurts.
mean, we've got a good amount of hits, like even when we're not scoring runs, but we haven't stolen one base. Like this is the era of stolen bases. Everybody's supposed to be stealing bases now.
Are we on base
we need to get on base.
Good outs?
Yeah.
They made a commercial with Vogelbach stealing a base. Like, everybody's supposed to be stealing bases now.
That guy stole $1 million from us last year.
Well, maybe JD Martinez, when he arrives, will steal some bases. Maybe that's the way he'll make an impact.
Is he known for a hustle? I thought he was a bat.
I have no clue.
He's a bat.
But
Lindor should be getting on base and stealing bases. I'm surprised Marte doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Nope. No stolen bases from the offense.
I don't know if the Syracuse Mets games have been rained out in AAA.
They have been.
They have been. Okay, so maybe JD will need to be down a little bit longer before he comes up to the major leagues. But we eagerly await his arrival.
So I think that about wraps up our hitting for this last week. Let's go on to our pitching.
Nothing to talk about.
Our pitching's been mostly okay. I think it's been pretty meh overall. I'm gonna start with our bullpen. We'll bring it back to our starters in a minute, but we touched on it earlier. The bullpen has been really overused. They've thrown 4.5 innings on average a game, which is just under 50% with the extra inning that we played last game. But they've only given up 4 earned runs, so just that's a 2 ERA in 18 innings. That's really not bad. They had that disastrous inning in the 10th where they gave up 5 runs, but none of those were earned. The runner at second was the only one that scored without the error, which is always an unearned run with the ghost runner. And then the Joey Wendell error opened up the floodgates. But no, the bullpen's been really solid. Despite the suspension of one of our players, Johan Ramirez gave up 2 runs. Ottavino and Jorge Lopez have given up a run apiece, and everybody else has been perfect. Drew Smith has a little over 2 perfect innings.
Drew Smith has been looking really good.
Yeah, the whole bullpen's been looking pretty good. Diaz particularly looked sharp in his return. We have the trumpet sounding in 2 non-save situations. Once in the ninth, and once I think he came in the ninth the other time too, but we were down. But once in the ninth in a tie game.
I saw Diaz come out on Monday, and it was a night game. They did the whole thing. Like, I felt like it was kind of like a copycat of the Braves where they turned off the lights and they brought him out. But it was a very electric feel. And he performed even better than what I expected. I have a lot of promise and hope for him going down the stretch. I think it's going to be as if he wasn't even injured. He's still got his own old stuff.
I hope so.
Yes. I think that's really all I have for the bullpen. I don't know if anybody else has anything to chime in on. Otherwise, anybody want to start with the starting pitching? David, what do you got for our starting pitching?
No, I looked good. I mean, nice, you know, like nice pickup for him. I think how many years ago was it he threw no hitter? So he has that in his back pocket, at least in his career. So I don't know if he's. What is he, no hit through 5 innings or something like that, or he's perfect through 4 or 5? He definitely had a good, so he had a good start. That was nice to see. You know, besides that, Severino kind of got beat up, but
that was a passion game.
He held it together, but he only gave up 3 runs, right? Like, considering he gave up 11 hits and a walk, 3 runs in 5 innings is not terrible. He gave us the Mets a chance to win.
I will say he didn't look terrible. I mean, I think the fact that he had that many hits given up means he was throwing strikes at least, which is something is something worthwhile. He wasn't walking guys. He wasn't giving. There wasn't a lot of free passes, so he had some command. So that was nice to see.
I'm sorry, I said 1 walk. It was 3 walks.
It was 12 hits and 3 walks.
No, it was no walks. My mistake. It was no walks.
12
pounding
hits.
The zone. Pounding the zone.
It was 12 hits in the first, if I'm recalling correctly.
12
hits
first.
No,
he only gave up 11 hits
overall.
He gave up
11. Maybe I saw a different stat line. A
lot of hits.
Still a lot of hits. Yeah, more than two hits an inning.
But going to the Manea game, I think aside from him in the bullpen, it was like maybe 12 or 13 strikeouts. Like there was a lot of swinging strikeouts against Detroit on Monday. Mm. I think it was a combination between him as a starter and the bullpen, but that was, like you said, very promising.
Yeah.
But I'm not counting Severino out yet. I think like his second game is going to be a lot
better.
No, it's
just one start. It's one start. Other than that, there's not a lot of things to note. McGill didn't do great. Quintana had a pedestrian opening day. McGill also is heading to the 15-day IL with a shoulder strain. Hauser still hasn't gotten to a game yet. He's the last Met to not have played in a game this year, which is
he's
crazy
lucky.
Considering we're considering we're almost a week into the season for everybody else. And the Mets today actually signed a new starting pitcher, Julio Teheran. I don't know if he's been working out or if he's ready to go or if he'll take a couple weeks to like ramp up like a starting pitcher normally would. But he's basically had 3 years where he didn't really pitch between 2021 and 22. I think he pitched like 30 innings. And last year he had an okay bounce back, first year back in the major leagues after a couple of years with injury, had about a 4.5 ERA with Milwaukee over the year, but
I feel like he's a sleeper agent.
Not a super inspiring signing.
He's a sleeper agent. He's a Milwaukee plant to take away some more runs from us.
I always thought you meant Brave.
That's what I thought you meant too. Yeah.
He was a Brave as well. He was a Brave
for a
before
long time.
They sent him down.
He torched us. He like
I will I, say I, that I, when I he was a Brave, he was very good against us, right?
Always. Always.
At Citi Field, he has a 2.7 ERA and 88 innings, which is not a small sample size for a visiting player.
Against the Mets, not against opponents.
Against the Mets, yes, yeah, yeah. Against the Mets. Most of that was probably against the with the.
Wait, what was that? 2.97 and 88 innings.
2.97 and 88 innings. Solid.
Right. That's really good.
It's actually better. He's actually better at Citi Field against the Mets than he was at home against the Mets. Against the Mets overall, he was 3.25 ERA.
Wow.
Sleeper agent.
Maybe he's just good like Citi Field and he wanted to come here.
Well, Queens is nice.
Sure
is. Queens is nice.
Well, until yeah, until Teheran comes and Kodai Singh is ready to go and whatever, it looks like our pitching will kind of, I guess, maybe hold steady, we hope.
Well, I think it was like a dicey scenario where we had to sign him because there's some like rule where you have to have like 15 games like in the minors or like part of an organization. We had some people that we could have called up from the 40-man roster, but that would have entailed us sending Senga to the 60-day IL.
And if I think you're not supposed to, like, we have Lucchesi and Buddha were the new starting pitchers on the 40-man, and they could have been called up, but since it's still within 15 days, I don't know if it's 15 days or 15 games of the season, they say that you can't call them up right away. So that's why we had to scrape and get to, I guess, sign Teheran in theory. I question why they didn't bring up one of the other prospects for a start, but maybe they just don't want to bring them up. Yeah, Vassell was the name that being thrown around, but they might just not want to like start his service time already. He's not ready. So I think that's the reason why they didn't bring up Lucchesi and Buddha.
One thing I saw is that we would have had to shift somebody off of our 26-man roster or one of our IL to the 60, and Senga would have been like the top candidate because 60 days from now we would put him at like the end of May, beginning of June.
Yeah,
and honestly, like his timetable for like return, kind of like looks like it's going to be around that time, but.
Makes sense. So that's why they called up. That's why they signed Teheran and just was like, let's deal with it this way. Sign
exactly.
Him.
Well, another thing with the roster move was that it has to, like, you can only pull one of those guys off if there's an injury. And so that is what happened to McGill. But because we're losing, or we expect to lose Johan Ramirez for three games, we actually had to call up bullpen help. Or was it two games?
It was originally three. His appeal was heard, and they reduced his suspension.
Oh, so he will be serving suspension for two games. So we actually might need the bullpen help. So that's why we had to bring up a reliever instead of a starter.
So bureaucracy.
Ugh,
ridiculous. So politics.
We do get the extra person. Well, because he's suspended, we're not allowed to actually replace him on the roster. So we'll be playing 25 man for those two games. But since one of them is actually the doubleheader, I guess both games will be the doubleheader. We're actually going to get an extra person for the second game of the doubleheader.
So we wind up having
26. Yeah, it's strange. It's a funky thing.
He can't show up until 4 o'clock.
All right. So how about you guys? I'm pretty tired talking about the Mets this week.
Oh my god, it's been exhausting.
It's been exhausting. But
and this was 2 days off.
Man, we have 2 days off, so we'll take a little break on the Mets.
We got 2 days off and it's still hard.
But we will talk a little bit about some of the stuff that went on around the league. We have a little time left. There's been a bunch of news, obviously. Baseball has started again. Woo. The main piece of news, I mean, I'll start off with is our New York counterparts.
Stop. I don't want to talk about them first.
The Stankies. Like, let's get out of the way. Get out of the way at
All right,
least.
yeah, you're right.
I agree. Let's get out of there.
The Yankees were in Houston to start the series. They start the season, swept the Astros, 4-game sweep. Juan Soto making his first appearances as a Yankee. Just played
Hate that.
absolute hero ball with his glove and his arm and his bat. Like, truly won this series for them. Has just cemented himself almost immediately. And Soto and Judge look like they're going to be best pals, and the rest of the outfield, and they look like they're getting along far too well to make me believe that we'll have an easy shot at signing Soto next year. Looks like it's going to be a tough play if we decide to do that.
I disagree. I think he's a Scott Boras client. He's going for the record money. The Yankees have a lot of money on payroll committed already. I think that we don't. I think that Cohen has a pretty open wallet, and I think if they really want him, we have just as good a shot as anybody. I don't think he's getting any hometown discount.
Cohen wants to spend money on the right player, and I feel like Soto's best player available. Way better than anyone else we've talked about.
I'm agreeing with Eric over here. He's young. If the Yankees continue to play the way that they're playing and this chemistry continues to develop, it doesn't matter. He's going to stay with the team that he's going to win championships with.
Yeah.
And looking at the Mets, where they can't even string together a lineup, he might stay with Judge.
It's crazy. I mean, he's going to show up in the Bronx. They haven't even played at home yet. He's going to show up in the Bronx already a hero.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that shit.
When Aaron Judge got to the Bronx, they made an entire section in the bleachers, the Judge's box. What are they going to do for Soto? They'll put
Crazy.
like the entire infield for him.
Yeah.
A
He won a
young
World
kid
Series
like him.
in Washington, and he did not stay there. He has no interest in
Washington had
extending
no
with
money.
them.
Washington's still paying Scherzer.
Padres gave him a lot of money and he left there too. So,
I
well, he
guess.
was traded there. He didn't really have much of
So all
choice
this talk
either way,
about
I thought.
money, if people give him money, that doesn't mean nothing.
All
He's
right.
whatever. Yeah. Well,
Enough
we have a
about the
whole
Yankees.
season of we have like a Soto watch like we had an Ohtani
We'll have
watch last year.
Soto watch. But if it's a
Oh.
Soto watch, if it's a Soto watch, that means we have to watch the Yankees, which I'm less enthused about.
Okay,
But
never gonna happen.
I'll check in every now and then. Anyway, on the Astros, after being swept in 4 games at home by the Yankees, the next game, they one of their starters, Ronel Blanco, in the eighth start of his career, throws a no-hitter.
Crazy.
Stupid. Stupid.
Where do you go from there in your career?
Who knows? He could be one of those pitchers like Dallas Braden, who just, has his taste of history and then just falls off the map.
You peak in the beginning and then it's downhill from there.
Better than being
The
Galarraga.
Astros bullpen was supposed to be really good, and it has not been good at all. And they're like, well, screw it. Just don't give up a hit for the starting pitcher if you don't need bullpen.
I'll go 9 innings. Fuck it. I like to see the 9 inning no hitters, because those are at least what I associate. I mean, I think having a combined team no hitter is still cool, but having one person do it is a really nice feat.
As
I think
good as
it's
a
way
perfect
cooler.
game, though.
Certainly not.
All right, to move on to our next story through the for the round the league. This is one I really wanted to talk about. I'm skipping ahead in our notes a little bit, but the A's. So we all know the A's are embarrassing. They're committing errors at a astounding rate, a historic rate this season so far. But what really got me is this possible conspiracy going on with the A's. I think it's a little tinfoil hat, but I'm going to go over it anyway. Essentially, Rocker, who was their all-star in 2023,
Rooker, Brent Rooker.
Rooker, I'm sorry, Rooker, thank you. There was their all-star in 2023. Did a great year. Was he rookie last year too? I think so.
Not sure.
And he was benched earlier this week for a couple games in a row. Obviously, it's still early in the season. And then Ruiz, he's not an all-star, but he's a fantastic outfielder. Led the league in stolen bases last year. Hit 302 in September. He had struggled in the early season, but he put it together at the end of the year and had a really good start to this year. Was sent down to AAA. And it was after a couple pictures surfaced of them wearing wristbands from a fan protest organization that has been around Oakland, where they're protesting the owners. And they were caught with the wristbands and then subsequently benched and demoted. I think it's a little tinfoil hat. I think it's right up the A's alley of doing something like this in your strike retaliation. But I really think with Ruiz, it's just about manipulating service time. Like they're like, why keep the clock on his MLB going while he could just like be in Triple-A since they're not going to win anyway. With Rooker, I really don't know the reason to bench him, but maybe they just don't want to win games.
I agree with you, but isn't this the whole point of having like a players union? Like, if he actually was sent down for wearing a bracelet protesting the owner, I feel like that's a gigantic deal, and I would hope it goes against the A's owner. Oh,
Prove it.
In that defense, A, you have to prove it. B, you're a rookie player and you don't want to make waves, because if you formulate that opinion of yourself going anywhere, how prone are teams going to sign you? And this
If he
is,
was worried about not making waves, he would not have worn a bracelet protesting the
I mean,
owner of the
around the
team.
league, like the entire league is against the A's. We know that. Like, nobody gives a shit about them. But like trying to get signed anywhere else is like, all right, this kid's outspoken. He's going to appeal things. I don't know. Like, that's kind of like my personal like philosophy. Like, I know my rights and my job, and I'll stand up for myself when I should. But there's some things that like I let, fly under the carpet just to, not jeopardize my future. And I think it just ties into like the whole thing. Like you said, like A's, like they don't really have a lot of shit going for them. They're can't even afford a Triple-A stadium or get approved that. The ownership wants to move, fans don't want them to move. That is such a convoluted plot point over there that it's hard to even like touch it with a stick.
These are a mess. Just a couple other notes around the league that we got before we finish up. Mookie Betts is off to an absurd start. He's hit 5 home runs, 11 RBIs, 14 runs scored, 6.05 OBP in 30 at bats. Eric is pumping his fist because he's on his fantasy team, having a
Yeah.
great start to the year.
Right. Now we'll talk about your fantasy player right after
Sure, my fantasy player also
it.
had he started the year 0 for 11. Bryce Harper, 0 for 11 last night, breaks out 3 home runs, including a grand slam,
Against me.
quite against Ray.
Bastard.
So just a couple of the players who are having a hot year, also not on our list, but Shane Bieber, looks like he's back, had 2 terrific starts so far to start his season off, looking like the Shane Bieber of old.
Contract year. He wants out of Cleveland.
Contract year. That's a good point.
Ex-Met Michael Conforto is also looking pretty damn good
Also
in
having a
San
really hot start to
Francisco.
the year.
Like 3 home runs, a grand slam, like batting average of like 600 or something like this. Or OBP rather.
That'll wrap us up for around the league, unless anybody else has some more notes. But before we sign off, let's go to our trivia question.
Ooh.
So the only real clue was that they are the last team to win the World Series, starting the year 0-4, as the Mets are currently.
Oh, they're the
It
last
was
team, like
recent.
the most recent team to have
They're
done
the
it.
most recent team. They're actually the only team, at least since I got back to the late 90s, and they're the only team to do it at that point.
Okay.
So it was recent. It's within the last 5 years. I'll give you that. Really
Oh,
narrow attempt.
narrowed
Really
it
narrow attempt
down.
for you.
Oh, now over 20% chance. It went from 1 in 30 to 1 in 5.
So they narrowing it down.
God damn,
I'll
Rob.
narrow it. What's a
Even
second?
further?
I
Should we
can
just
narrow even
guess? Like,
further.
let's take
Yeah, let's take some guesses.
some guesses.
So is it not
So
Texas Rangers last year?
there's been a couple teams that have had really bad starts in the last 5 to 10 years that have won the World Series.
I'm gonna go with did the Phillies win it a few years ago, or did they just make the World Series and not win it?
They made the World Series, they didn't win it.
Okay, then Nationals, they've notoriously were
No,
they had
that
a
was
terrible
Houston.
start to the year in 19, and I think they were like something like 20-35 at some point, and they went made the World Series and won it, but they did not start the year 0-4.
I'm gonna say the 2020 Dodgers, the COVID season Dodgers.
Good guess. I think a lot of people got off to a sluggish start there, but nope, the Mickey Mouse ring did not start out 0-4.
Astros the year after the home run, the garbage can.
Not the Astros either. They actually have two World Series, I think, in the last 6 years. So we're narrowing it down. There's only two more teams that have won
the
World
Series.
I hope
it's Series. The Braves, those motherfuckers.
It is the Braves, yeah. Yeah. 2021.
Oh, my
Atlanta
God. Why
Braves.
Are you talking about them? Don't give them credit.
2021 Atlanta Braves started out the year 4-0. They did win their fifth game, and then I think they
oh
lost
four.
Another two.
Oh four.
What's wrong with me today?
Oh four.
This is the second time I've done this.
You have dysnumeria.
A little bonus one, the longest losing streak ever to start a season was the 1988 Orioles, who went 0-21 to start the year.
Whoa.
So
did they make
it
the
could
playoffs?
Be worse, guys. It could
that
be worse. No, they finished in last Ooh. Place, I think 56 and whatever that comes out to, 108.
Don't say it could be worse because we haven't had a win yet.
Sorry, 56 and 106.
We could still outdo them.
That was 98, right? Or 1988.
88.
Wow. We are literally beating the Mariners, the Marlins, who are 0-7 in our division. So
That's true. We're in fourth place somehow.
Wow. Well, that wow.
One thing my dad always said was you don't count the losses until you have the games played. Or you don't count the wins until you have the games played. So they have seven games on us. We could end up just the same place as them.
Very good. True.
Good.
That's really interesting about the Orioles, because the Orioles, I mean, Cal Ripken Jr. was on that team. I'm just pulling up his Wikipedia page
was
now.
Was he? Wow.
They won the World Series in 83. So 5 years later, they start 0-21.
Jeez.
And Ripken in 1991, so 3 years after that, was an MVP again for the second time.
That must hurt.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
All righty. Well, we hope anything can happen on a positive note for the Mets this coming week. We look forward to seeing a lot of baseball. The Mets have no scheduled off days. Let's pray for no rain so we actually see some baseball. There will be a doubleheader tomorrow on Thursday.
Cincinnati.
As well. I think it'll be, we play like 14 straight games. Yeah, we have quite a road ahead. We have
on the road, right?
On the road. We have Detroit at home for the doubleheader. We go to Cincinnati. We go to Atlanta. I don't know who's after that, but it's going to be a tough stretch.
Maybe Miami.
We'll be here. We'll be watching the games no matter how frustrating they are. But you, as a listener, thank you for listening. You can always email us at foolishlyfaithfulmetspod@gmail.com or on message us on Instagram, foolishly_faithful, with any fan mail, hate mail, questions, comments, trivia questions, yada, yada. So until next time, we will see you. LFGM.